proper desserts. Eclairs, cake with fudgy layers, a knickerbocker glory with a tower of whipped cream. Dessert was a banana, a baked apple, yogurt, low fat, and peaches that set her off gagging when her teeth made contact with their suede-like skins. Marnie's diet at home was micromanaged, and that included school-packed lunches. No penguins or Mr. Kipling cakes for her in her Tupperware box. She wasn't allowed to go to the birthday events of other children, where there might be, drumroll, party food. If Marnie had been asked to give one word which summed up her childhood, she would have replied, hungry. Hungry for food, hungry for attention, hungry for love. Then, in the summer of 1994, old Mrs. McMaid, with the pronounced limp and the guttural Scottish accent, moved in next door. And Judith Salt thought it might be a nice gesture if 10-year-old Marnie offered to run errands for her in the six-week holidays. Her 8-year-old younger sister Gabrielle didn't have the spare time, what with her singing, ballet, piano, flute, elocution and Spanish lessons. She had shown a natural propensity in all of these things, so Judith told anyone who cared to listen. Therefore, they were to be encouraged. Marnie had shown no such talents, which is why she escaped all the extracurricular activities. She didn't mind. She'd seen Gabrielle dance in a show and decided she had all the lightness of a Yorkshire pudding made with cement and was grounded for a week by her mother for tittering in the performance. And Sarah Brightman certainly had nothing to worry about. So Marnie was sent off to do her Christian duty and be of service to Mrs. McMaid, with a firm dictate that she was not to be given any food whilst she was there, as she was on a strict diet for health reasons. It was torture for young Marnie, because Mrs. McMaid made jam, and lots of it. And she told Marnie how wonderful it tasted, slathered on her fresh-from-the-oven white bread and warm scones, with curls of creamy butter that she kept in a big jug of iced water in her fridge. And she let Marnie whisk up bowls of cake mix, which smelled better than the baked end product, and lined tins with circles of pastry for fruit tarts. Marnie's stomach growled more that summer than it had in all her previous years put together. "Ugh, it's a shame I can't give you any food, hen. What's the matter with you?" Mrs. McMaid asked her one day, absently handing her a jam spoon to lick before hurriedly snatching it back. "Nothing," replied Marnie, with a sigh loaded with disappointment. "Mum just doesn't want me to get any fatter."
"But you're no fat," Mrs. McMaid exclaimed, and her grey, shaggy eyebrows creased in consternation. "In fact, your mother and your sister could do with fattening up a wee bit. It's nae good for you, walking roon with all your bones on show."
And she passed the spoon back to Marnie, whose hand almost shook with a seismic wave of joy as she reached out to take it and lift it to her lips. Her tongue snaked out in slow motion towards the sugary raspberry jam, and when it made contact, her taste buds began to sing soprano. She closed her eyes and savoured the rush of sweetness, and then she swallowed with a satisfying gulp. Then the guilt washed over her like a tsunami. Her mum would know. An all-seeing camera in the sky would report her sin back, and she began to sob, and Mrs. McMaid enfolded her in a floral-scented cuddle and said over and over again,
"It's no right. It's no right at all."
Then she gave her another spoonful to help her feel better. Contrary to her belief, her mother could not smell the licks of raspberry preserve on her, and the relief that she was not indelibly permeated with it was palpable. That night she dreamt of swimming in a huge lake of jam, like an enormous ball pool filled with red berries, instead of plastic spheres. She couldn't wait to run around to Mrs. McMaid's the next morning in her cleaning clothes. She decided she was going to risk a mouthful of cake mix next. But that day, instead of a sponge or scones or biscuits, she found that Mrs. McMaid was making a cheesecake. The disappointment fell on Marnie like a hod full of bricks carried by a drunken builder.
"Cheesecake?"
Marnie wrinkled up her nose. She envisaged a pile of melted, smelly goo in the middle of a sponge and was a little bit sick in her mouth.
"That sounds disgusting."
"Just you wait and see," laughed Mrs. McMaid, unwrapping a packet of digestives. She put them in a plastic bag and gave them to Marnie.